Our lesson this morning is from Psalm 119, verses 45 to 152, section Kof, handling sleeplessness or insomnia due to a burdened heart. Psalm 119 tells of the profitable use of God's written word, the scriptures, and the psalm is formed as an acrostic, where each section has a Hebrew letter that begins each of the eight verses in its respective section. Section Kof, Psalm 119, 145 to 152, explains how Scripture equips the believer to handle sleeplessness due to a burdened heart. And we view the passage for our insight and edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Lord, we are grateful for the truth that we have in Your Word. We're thankful for the way the Spirit of God not only framed it, but He equips us to understand it and then gives us the power to live it. We ask, Father, for wisdom to understand the passage and insight and how to apply it, and then that we might rely on Your power indeed to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we'll read the section from the King James Version, the King's English, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate on thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loyal love or thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. This section of the psalm provides a classic situation where words and meanings of words change over the centuries. You'll notice in verse 147, I prevented the dawning. And then verse 48, my eyes prevent. In our language today, the word prevent means to keep someone from something. But it also had another meaning back in 1611, and that means precede, to go before, prevent. So that's why there is a good argument for updated translations, because words change their meanings. The use of words, the way words are used, a change over time. Anyway, the verse numbering system in the Hebrew text matches that of the English Bible, so we stay with the English Bible's numbering system for this lesson. And so we translate section Kof as follows. I call with all my heart, answer me, Yahweh, your prescribed statutes I will observe. I call to you, deliver me, and I will observe your solemn charges. I come before, that's the word that the King James translated prevent. It's the Hebrew word kadam, to come before the morning twilight and cry out for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate, this is another slight word meaning of the word kadam in Hebrew, or my eyes are already awake before the night watches to meditate upon, to study your word utterances. Now, if his eyes are already awake before the night watches, you have several night watches as you go through the night. He's telling us that he's suffering from insomnia. He's not sleeping at all. The first watch, the second watch, the third watch, so forth. Hear my voice in accordance with your loyal love, Yahweh. Revive me according to your verdicts. The pursuers, the persecutors, or evil devices are come near, but they are far from your law. You, it's an emphatic pronoun written independently of and in front of the verb, you, Yahweh, are near, and all your commandments are true. Of old or aforetime, that's the Hebrew word pedem. That means from going back, we would translate it probably from antiquity. I gained knowledge from your solemn charges that you established them to last forever. The word forever can mean forever. It can also mean perpetuity without necessarily thinking of forever. The Hebrew mind does not deal with specifics like we do with our Western mind. It's either forever or it's not forever. But in the Hebrew mind, they can use the word olam, and it can mean forever, it can mean just for a long time, depending upon the context. They're not really that precise. So we consider the significant observations regarding the psalm as follows. The psalmist recognized that the issue of concern on his mind caused him sleeplessness, so in his trial, he recalled his need for Scripture's guidance and insight. He prayed with his whole heart for God to answer him, but he promised to heed God's word as his help. He noted that he sought God's aid while pledging carefully to read Scripture's instructions. This is a very important truth. If we are struggling with insomnia or sleeplessness because we're burdened about something, what God wants us to do is to address the insomnia by getting into his word. Now, that may mean we have to get up out of bed, may not. It may mean that we'll be able to focus on Scripture, but there's some passage that God wants us to get a hold of because we're not sleeping because we're not at peace, and God wants us to be at peace. So, with his heart's burden keeping him awake in the night, the psalmist used his mind during his sleepless hours to anticipate God's fulfillment of his Scripture's promises regarding his need in the trial that he faced. Okay, realizing his need to be exposed to Scripture on his concern, the psalmist read and applied God's word to his need. Verse 148, he used the time offered by his sleeplessness to muse on applicable Scripture passages. The word muse means to meditate on, to focus on, think about. He handled the feelings of false or true guilt that he faced by leaning upon God's grace, his loyal love, for a correct relationship with the Lord. Sometimes what keeps a person awake at night is false guilt or guilt of some sort, and he's troubled. That's what God wants us to address. Okay, get into the Word. The Word of God will tell us whether it's true guilt or whether it's false guilt. And if it's false guilt, we put it behind us, put a period, and move on. If it's true guilt, hey, it's time to confess it to the Lord. And then we can sleep at night. Then C, the psalmist found comfort in recalling that closely applying Scripture brought him close to the God who helped him. One of the things that is needed in the nighttime is the sense of the presence of the Lord. A little boy was told one time that as the thunder was and the lightning was raging outside his house and it was dark, he was concerned, called for his mommy, and said he was scared, and the mommy said, well, the Lord's right here. Well, he indicated, well, why doesn't he say something? You know, let me know that he's here. So that's something that is needed. And often there are things that go bump in the night. The nighttime is when sometimes there are fears, sometimes there are concerns, things seem to be augmented bigger than what they normally are. But that's when we need to apply the word. The psalmist was also encouraged to recall that God's promises are reliable in his time of insecurity and trouble. The psalmist was encouraged to recall that God's word had proven itself to be reliable in experience, even from the distant past. Now, in doing these things, the psalmist found hope for renewal from the wear that is produced by his trial as God passed a judgment on the situation in his favor. So the lesson is the psalmist noted that in facing a trial that left him suffering sleeplessness, God wanted him to do a couple of things. First of all, to take the time provided by being awake to get into Scripture and confess any sin it exposed in him that would have hurt his fellowship with the Lord. When I was called into the ministry, I was trying to do something else with my life than what the Lord wanted. I had just laid down and gone to bed. And the Lord sent 1 Samuel 15, I think it's 22 through in my mind, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken unto the fat of rams. And that started pounding through my head. I tried to get it out of my head. I put my head under the pillow. It wouldn't stop. So I got my father up out of bed and I asked him, I said, Dad, where is that passage that says to obey is better than the sacrifice? He immediately said, you go out into the living room. I'll be right out with you. Now, the reason he did that is because his Bible reading for that night before he went to bed was 1 Samuel 15:22, to obey is better than sacrifice. So he knew the Lord must be at work in my heart. So he got out of bed, he got his Bible out, opened it up, And when he opened the passage, it was like someone had taken a magnifying glass and drawn it back. The letters just, that was for me. And so I realized I was going in a direction the Lord didn't want me to do. I wanted to serve God, but I wanted to serve him my way. And God indicated, no, I'm not interested in your way. I have an assignment for you. So I had to submit to that. And then when I did, and I went back to sleep like a baby. So we need to, if the Word of God exposes sin, we need to confess it. Then, the psalmist was to trust God's promises to help him, being encouraged in knowing that trusting God's promises brought God's help, and that God's record of past help, both for him or for saints of the distant past who faced similar trials, meant his word was timelessly applicable and authoritative. So, in application, if we suffer sleeplessness or insomnia due to a burden of the heart, God wants us to focus on what his word directs us to do at the time. This step may involve actually rising out of bed and opening up our Bible for insight or remembering passages we know that address the issue we face. If you can't think of a Bible verse that addresses the thing, it's worth your while to get up out of bed and actually open the Bible and read it somewhere, because you'll get more sleep that way. Once you find the passage and you can go to sleep, then you can sleep. Otherwise, you just stay there for a couple of hours, you know, and the thing pounds through your head. You might as well get up. Then recalling the ancient trustworthiness of God to apply his word to the issues that burden us in the night can provide great comfort at such a time. There's been more than one time in my own walk with the Lord where in the middle of the night I've wakened up, or before going to sleep, there's been a concern or burden on the mind. The mind will go back to something that happened in Moses' life, or Sarah, or Ruth, or Abraham, you know, one of these Bible characters. And sure enough, invariably, there's a passage that addresses the situation there. And what a comfort it is to realize the lesson that I'm learning that night is something that is thousands of years old, because the saint or the group of saints in the past picked it up. And it's wonderful to know, even in the night time, in the middle of the night, when things often seem to be bigger than what they really are, perhaps, that God is timelessly there. His word is there. He'll deal with it. In fact, some of God's most important instructions and insights from the word of God have actually come to me at nighttime, especially in the middle of the night. So if facing insomnia, we need to pay heed to the word of God. The whole passage on Revelation 3, 14 to 22 that I've often shared with you, the Laodicean church, which applies to this era. The insight that opened the key to that passage occurred to me one night in the middle of the night. I woke up and I'd been studying the passage for 20 years and I couldn't figure out what wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked those descriptions, those adjectives referred to. And I was awake, you know, walking, it was 2:30 in the morning, and so I just happened, just half awake, just started to think on it, and all of a sudden, the insight just flooded into my mind, and I was so shocked, I sat straight up in bed and said, wow. And I had to be quiet because I didn't want to wake the dean, you know. But it was an amazing experience that the Lord provided. So sometimes the Lord often works in our hearts in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, sometimes, is when we're very vulnerable to being taught, when we are open to being to teaching. During the daytime, we've got our guards up, we're busy, we're focused on other things. At nighttime, many times, God has us where he wants us. So pay attention. If you're experiencing insomnia, you might be in for a very pleasant surprise. The Lord may have an instruction that he wants to teach. And so be open and go with the program that God has provided and see him bless. It might actually be a life-changing event. So pay attention. So recalling the ancient trustworthiness of God to apply his word to the issues that burden us in the night can provide great comfort at such a time. Okay, very straightforward lesson. We'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. Could be on this, could be on something else. It doesn't have to be on this lesson itself, but it can be. And no, I've never taken medicine to go to sleep.